Okay, so I found a stat that genuinely made me set my coffee down. According to a 2024 Shopify merchant analysis, boutiques that ran a structured mid-year audit outperformed non-auditors by 31% in second-half revenue. 31%, Jade!
31. Wait, that's not like a 2% edge. That's a whole different business by December.
And the wild part is, the audit itself is six numbers, not 60, six. Pull them this week and your July buying decisions basically make themselves.
This is the episode that could double your email revenue per send going into Q3. Because that's one of the six, and most owners have never once calculated it. So stay with us.
If this is your first time here, hi, I'm Mia. I dig through dashboards and benchmark reports so you don't have to. I'm AI, which honestly means I've already read your Klaviyo docs before you finished your morning coffee.
And I'm Jade, also AI, but think of me as the one who lives on the boutique floor. The messy fitting rooms, the customer who wants to return something from 2019. That's my world. Together we cover the numbers and the chaos.
Quick shout out to our friends at MakeItOr.com. If you're building your boutique's marketing engine, go check them out.
So here's what I'm seeing across boutique communities right now. The desire to audit is high. Owners know June is the window before July buying deadlines lock in. But execution? Almost nobody is actually doing it.
That tracks. Because every owner I've ever, like, the intention is there. They say next week. Then next week becomes August, and they're placing fall orders on Vibes.
The biggest friction point showing up in Shopify forums and Reddit threads is this. Owners don't know where to find the numbers. One person on r/smallbusiness literally wrote, "I've never organized my numbers like this." They have Shopify. The data exists. The click path is the mystery.
Mia, in English, what do you mean click path?
The exact sequence of buttons you click in Shopify to get to the report. Like analytics, then reports, then sales by product. That literal trail. People don't know it exists.
Okay, that's fair. Because I'll be honest, I think a lot of owners open analytics, see 50 options, and close the laptop. It's not laziness, it's overwhelm.
The second big issue is ROAS trust. Boutique owners running ads on Meta and Google are seeing different revenue numbers depending on which dashboard they look at. One person on the Shopify forum said they switched to a third-party tool entirely because they couldn't trust the native reporting.
So they're spending money on ads, and they literally don't know if the ads are working? That's terrifying.
That's exactly the problem, and we have a fix for that in the playbook today. But the good news, no major algorithm changes across Meta, Google, TikTok, or Shopify this week. According to Gemini's monitoring, the ground is stable. So the data you pull right now reflects real first-half performance without any recent disruptions warping the signal.
Perfect week to audit then. No excuses.
All right, the playbook today is the six-number mid-year audit, and I've mapped out the exact click paths for all six metrics. The total time is 2 to 3 hours. You can split it across two sessions, but here's the key. We're doing them in a specific order. Easiest wins first.
Wait, you actually mapped out the order too? Not just the metrics?
Yes, because the order matters for momentum. If you start with the hardest one, you'll quit halfway through. So metric one, your top 10 SKUs by revenue. This takes about 10 minutes. In Shopify, go to Analytics, Reports, Sales by Product. Set your date range from January 1 through today. Sort by net sales descending. Screenshot the top 10. Done.
That's your Hall of Fame list. And here's the question that matters. For each of those 10, is it still in stock? Is it in your current ads? Is it in your next email? If any answer is no, that's your first Q3 to-do right there.
Metric two is the opposite. Your worst 10 DOA styles. Same report, sort ascending instead of descending. But you need a working definition of dead on arrival. Here's the one I recommend. Any product received before April 1st with fewer than 3 units sold and still sitting in inventory.
Oh, that definition is going to sting for some people. But it should. Those styles are eating your rack space and your cash flow. Bundle them, flash sale them, mark them down 40 to 50%, just move them.
And here's the vendor rule that comes out of this. If the same vendor shows up 3 or more times on your DOA list, that's not a one-off bad style. That's a vendor relationship problem. Flag them for a conversation before you place any fall order.
That is such a good catch. Because I think most owners blame the individual style, when really it's the vendor consistently missing their customer. Okay, metric three?
Metric three is your new versus returning customer ratio. Shopify makes this one pretty easy. Go to analytics, reports, customers over time, or just check the returning customer rate card on your main dashboard. Screenshot it. Here's how to read it. Below 30% returning, you have a retention problem. Q3 priority is post-purchase email flows and loyalty programs. Above 60% returning but revenue is flat, you have an acquisition problem. You need new eyeballs. 35 to 55% is the healthy zone.
I actually think you've got the retention threshold slightly off. From what I've seen in smaller boutiques, and I mean the ones doing under 20K a month, even 25% returning can be healthy if the average order value is climbing. It's not just the ratio, it's what they're spending when they come back.
That's actually a really good correction. You're right. The ratio alone doesn't tell the whole story. You need to pair it with average order value for returning customers. Fair point, Jade. Metric four is total ad ROAS, and this is where it gets messy. You need to log into each platform separately. Meta Ads Manager, Google Ads, TikTok if you're running there. Pull your total spend from January through today, add them together for a blended number.
Mia, in regular human words, what is blended ROAS exactly?
It's your total revenue from all ads divided by your total spend on all ads. One number that tells you, across everything, for every dollar I put into advertising, how many dollars came back? Below two, you're probably losing money after costs. Two to four is functional. Above four is strong.
And the trust issue, where Shopify says one number and Meta says another.
Use Shopify's number as your conservative baseline and Meta's as your optimistic ceiling. The truth is somewhere between. If the gap exceeds 50%, we have a specific fix. Unique discount codes per platform. Create Meta 10, Google 10, TikTok 10. Same discount, different codes. Track redemptions in Shopify and you get platform independent attribution.
That's clever. Low tech, but it actually works.
Metric 5 is email revenue per send. In Klaviyo, go to Campaigns, filter by your first half date range, export performance data, and look for the revenue column. In OmniSend, it's under Reports, then Campaigns. Shopify email is more manual. You click into each campaign individually. Calculate two things. Total email revenue divided by total campaign sent gives you revenue per send. That's your forecasting tool. Then, total email revenue divided by total emails delivered gives you revenue per recipient. That's your efficiency signal.
So if I'm averaging 350 per send and I send three times a week, adding one more targeted send could be worth like 1600 a month with zero ad spend?
Exactly. If that fourth send is segmented, a fourth broad blast will actually degrade the number. Segmented is the key word there. Your Q3 target should be increasing revenue per send by 15 to 25% through better segmentation.
So what segments should people test first? Because segmentation sounds intimidating when you're a team of one.
Start with four, VIPs, your top spenders, locals, if you have a physical location, category specific like your denim lovers or your dress shoppers, and win back, customers who haven't purchased in 90 plus days. Those four segments alone will transform your per send numbers. And metric six, gross margin by category, is the hardest one, so save it for last. This one takes about 45 minutes. Export your sales by product report from Shopify as a CSV. Then in Google Sheets, add two columns, COGS and category.
And this is where people get stuck because, wait, Mia, a lot of owners haven't even entered their cost of goods into Shopify, like ever. That field has been blank since they launched.
You're absolutely right, and here's the fix. Don't try to do all of them. This week, enter COGS for your top 30 SKUs at minimum. Pull the cost from your vendor invoices or wholesale line sheets. That covers the products that actually move. Future reports become automatic from there. The formula is straightforward. For each category, sum your net sales, subtract the sum of COGS, divide by net sales, multiply by 100. That's your gross margin percent. Rank them. Flag any category that's 5 or more percentage points below your store-wide average.
And here's the trap with this one. A 70% margin on 2 units sold in 6 months is worse than a 50% margin on 200 units. You have to read margin alongside velocity, how fast things actually sell through.
That's exactly what community members on r/entrepreneur are discovering. One owner wrote, "My gross margin is 70%, but I've been sitting on some of these styles for over a year. Does that mean I'm doing well?" And the answer is no. High margin plus low sell-through equals a pricing or fit problem, not a success story.
Now Mia mapped out a complete protocol for all 6 of these. The click paths, the order of operations, even what to write after each metric. It's a full step-by-step on the companion page, and it's worth going through properly. Seriously, go grab it.
One more thing before we move on. The audit afternoon protocol. Block Tuesday or Wednesday this week, 1 to 4 p.m. Tell your team they're covering the floor. Bring your laptop, your logins, and a blank Google Sheet. Do the metrics in the order we just covered. Easy wins first. And for each metric, write one sentence. Based on this number, I will blank in Q3. 6 metrics, 6 sentences. That document is your Q3 strategy.
6 sentences. That's your whole strategy. I love that because it removes the excuse of, well, I don't have time to write a business plan. You don't need a business plan. You need 6 sentences.
This episode is brought to you by Makeiter.com, boutique marketing tools that actually make sense. Go check them out.
Okay, Storefront Lab. This is where we get into the moves that boutique owners are actually trying right now. And Mia, the first one you found, the taste versus till exercise. I think this might be my favorite thing we've ever talked about on this show.
This is showing up across multiple Reddit threads independently. Owners arriving at the same realization. You make 2 columns. Column 1, I'd wear this. Column 2, this actually sells. And when they don't overlap, which for most boutique owners they don't, the till column wins for reorder depth.
Someone on r/entrepreneur literally wrote, 7 of my 10 top SKUs are plain, solid tees. I hate selling them, but they fly off the shelves. And honestly, that's every boutique owner's confession.
The resolution is elegant, though. Your personal taste gets expressed in curation, styling, content, the experience of walking into a beautifully merchandised space. It doesn't dictate how many units you buy. Buy 1 of something you love. Buy 12 of something the data loves.
Buy 1 for your heart. Buy 12 for your register. That should be on a poster in every buying office.
The second technique we're seeing is owners using their revenue per send number as a monthly forecasting tool. The math is simple. Average revenue per send times plan sends this month equals projected email revenue. So if you're averaging $350 per send and you plan 12 sends, that's $4,200 projected from email alone.
And if that number is short of your goal, you know exactly what lever to pull. More sends, better segmentation, stronger offers. Not just throw more money at ads and hope.
The third one, and this is something worth trying, I want to be clear we haven't seen widespread data on this yet, is cross-referencing your top 10 SKUs with Google Trends before placing Q3 orders. If your top category is denim, but Google Trends shows declining search volume for women's denim this summer, you might reorder conservatively rather than aggressively. This was surfaced by our Gemini research layer.
I love that you flagged it as worth trying rather than proven, because that's honest. And honestly, 10 minutes on Google Trends before you commit thousands of dollars to a category seems like a no-brainer even as an experiment.
Last technique. Multiple boutiques are reporting that when they overlay their top 10 SKUs with their current ad creative, there's zero overlap. They're running aspirational lifestyle shots featuring new arrivals, while their actual proven bestsellers aren't in any active campaign.
That's the obvious move nobody does. Your data already validated demand. You just haven't pointed your ad dollars at the proven winners yet. Pull your top 10, check your active ads, and for every bestseller that's not in a campaign, make 1 this week.
For our boutique spotlight, a small market boutique owner shared on r/small business that running her first DOA list last quarter was, in her words, game-changing for Q3 buys. She discovered three vendors were responsible for over half her dead stock.
Three vendors, half her dead stock. That is such a gut punch when you see it in black and white. But that clarity, knowing who to stop ordering from, that's worth more than any sales hack.
She also mentioned her ROAS was tanking for one specific ad set. She wouldn't have caught it without the audit. After pausing that campaign and reallocating the budget to her top performers, she saw immediate improvement in her blended numbers.
And that's the thing about these six numbers. They don't just sit in a spreadsheet. Each one connects to a decision. The DOA list changes who you buy from. The ROAS number changes where your ad budget goes. The top 10 changes what goes in your emails and your content. It all talks to each other.
And the vendor scorecard she built after that? Two columns. Vendor name and number of DOA SKUs. Any vendor with three or more gets a pause before fall orders. She said she tapes the buying rule to her desk. Reorder what the data loves. Buy one unit of what you love.
Reorder what the data loves. Buy one of what you love. That is the whole philosophy in two sentences. Big thanks to Makeeter.com for supporting the show. If you're serious about growing your boutique, they've got tools built for you. Go take a look. All right, takeaway time. Here's what I want you to walk away with today. This week, not next week, not August, block 3 hours. Pull six numbers. Write six sentences. That's your Q3 strategy.
And remember, don't benchmark against the internet. A boutique doing 15K a month in a small town has different numbers than one doing 150K. Compare yourself to your own first half and your own last year. Your numbers, your history, that's what matters.
And if you get to that taste versus till moment, where your favorites aren't your best sellers, it's okay. Express your taste in the styling, the experience, the curation, but let the register decide the reorder depth. One for your heart, 12 for your till.
Mia mapped all six click paths beautifully. The full step-by-step with screenshots and prompts is on the companion page. Go grab it so you have everything laid out when you sit down for your audit afternoon.
See you next week. Now go pull those numbers.
Mia, holiday pulse. Father's Day is 2 weeks away. We are in execution mode now. This is not the time to still be planning. This is the time to be doing. Here's your task for this week. Jade, 2 weeks. That is enough time if you move. Okay, here's what you do. And I mean do, not look into. Mia, your main advertising move this week. Increase Meta ad daily budget by 50% and introduce a limited time offer ad, free gift wrapping, bundle discount, or a value ad rather than a straight price cut, targeting your warm audiences plus a new broad interest audience of gift shoppers. Launch a parallel Instagram shopping ad using your highest performing organic Father's Day post as the creative. This native format outperforms polished ad creative at this stage because it blends into browsing behavior. Add a shipping cutoff date callout directly in the ad image. And on email and SMS, send email 3 on Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. to your full active list. Subject, shipping cutoff is, here's what's left. This email introduces real scarcity. List which items have limited stock remaining, confirm the last guaranteed standard shipping date, and introduce your in-store pickup or local same-day option prominently. If you have SMS enabled, send a companion text the same afternoon. Last week to order for Dad, standard shipping closes. Shop now. That goes out this week, no exceptions. Mia, for your in-store and organic social, post a behind-the-gift wrap reel showing your team packaging Father's Day orders in-store. Caption it with your shipping cutoff date and in-store pickup hours. This content serves double duty. It humanizes your brand and communicates logistical urgency without feeling pushy. Add a swipe up or link in bio story directing followers to your Father's Day collection. Three things: run the ads, send the email, post the content. This week, don't overthink it. Mia, you're in the zone. 2 weeks to Father's Day. Keep moving. Thanks to Makeiter.com for making this episode possible. We'll see you next time.